Okay, we're in business. Okay, we're on Daf Kuf Chav Zion today, and we have a very nice daf with a lot of nice stories in them today. I think stories are always nice. Anyway, I'll begin from the beginning of the parak on Kuf Chav
They tend
Amud
not
Beis.
to hurt the brain.
What? Say again. What?
Stories don't hurt the brain.
No. All right. Anyway, let me begin with the Mishnah on the beginning of the Perek on Kuf Chaf Avam Beis. It says Mefanin. Everybody have it. It's around 20 lines from the bottom on 126b. Okay. So the idea here in this Mishnah is that, and this is the way the Rav Kahati had it. In other words, like if something's food, so it's not muksa. I can move food if it's animal food or human food, but if there's a tircha involved, the volume, then I run into problems. But if there's a, like on the other hand, if it's for a dvar mitzvah, so I have an override if there's not too much tircha. If there's too much tircha, then even the dvar mitzvah is not going to cut it. That's the basic idea. All right? Well, that's what's coming up. Then we'll do the Mishnah. And well, first I tell you, I told you like one of my law professors, first I tell you what we're doing, then what we will do, then I tell you what we're doing, then I tell you what we did. Okay, so let's take a look. So Mishnah says, Mefanina afilo arba v'chamesh kupot shel teven. So the Gemara is going to have, we don't know the pshat in this. We'll see. The Gemara is going to have different pshatim on it, but literally it means that a person can move four or five boxes. And the boxes, if you look at the bottom Tosfos, it's a standard box. The box is three sa'a. And three sa'a, I have this book here, like Siyata the Gemara. Anyway, a sa'a identifies around 2 gallons. So, like, it's a big box, big box. It says, I can move away even 4 and 5 boxes of teven is straw, which is animal food. That's what we take it, animal food. Vishal tavua is grain. So the grain in its current form, would probably be for animals too, because people usually don't eat the grains the way they are. He says, but mipnei ha'orchim, because of guests arriving and I need space for the guests. He says, mipnei bitul beit ha'medrash, or I'm giving a shiur, there's not enough room in the beis medrash, I got to move things around. Aval lo et ha'otzar, but I can't move, clear out the otzar. The otzar is like the store. Again, in the Gemara, we'll explain in, when we get into the Gemara all the details with this. Okay, mefanin truma tahora udmayu maaser rishon shetlat trumato maaser sheni v'hektei sheniftu. Now he's trying to say that I can clear out things that aren't muksa. So truma tahora, if I have truma, even though I'm not a kohen, I can clear that away. In other words, that's not muksa. And then demai is, again, it's not something that I can eat because the Chamim Asr D'mai is tefuah that's purchased from an Am Haaretz, and all the Am Haaretz would take Truma. Most of them took Maaser, but there was a significant minority that didn't take Maaser. So on a Din Torah, everybody could eat D'mai, but the Chamim said a person should not eat D'mai. So we'll discuss the Gemara, but I can move D'mai. Maaser Rishon Shnatlat Trumato, and Maaser Rishon, whose truma has been removed. Again, we'll discuss in the Gemara. He says, Maaser Sheni v'Hektesh Shniftu, Maaser Sheni and Hektesh that have been redeemed. So the point is that all those items are not muksa, so I can move them. And he says, V'hat Turmas HaYavesh v'neshu Ma'achal Le'izim, and then I could move the Turmas HaYavesh, is the dry bean, it's a lupine, they said, because that's like goat food. I'll load a tevel, but I can't move tevel. Tevel is the untithed produce, so I can't take the trumas masters on Shabbos. So it's muksa. It's muksa. He says, "Velo at master rishon shlom la trumato." I can't. Master rishon is the tithe that goes to the levy, and then the levy has to give. Well, we'll see about the truma being taken off. Velo at master sheni v'hektesh lo niftu, and master sheni hektesh that haven't been redeemed. Velo at aluf, velo at a chardal. I can't move the luf. The luf, he says, is, how does he translate luf? He says L-U-F, luf. Anyway, luf, he says, is a type of legume. But anyway, when it's raw, it's inedible even to livestock and domestic fowl, he says. So luf is obviously muksa. So back in the Gemara, he says, lo luf, lo da chardal. Chardal is mustard, but if it hasn't been crushed, also inedible. He says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, matir beluf. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says luf is okay. You could move it, neshu ma'achal orvim, because it could be fed to ravens. And apparently, there was like a royalty aristocracy would raise ravens. Chavilei kash v'chavilei etzim v'chavilei zradim. These are bundles of straw, bundles of wood, or bundles of zradim. He says tender reeds. He says, if it was set up to be animal food, then I can move it. Otherwise, I can't move it. So the idea here in the Mishnah, I'm just repeating myself, and we'll flesh out the details in the Gemara, is I have items that are not muksa. That's the first yisod. If something's muksa, I'm dead in the water. I can't move it. That's the first yisod. Some items that aren't muksa, but there's a certain amount of tircha in moving a large volume of it. But that small amount of tircha, and we'll see. In other words, it comes against a dvar mitzvah. I have the mitzvah. I want people to hear shiurim. I want to be machnis orchim. Those are all mitzvahs. So if I have a mitzvah, I can do some tircha to move it. And the tircha that I can move it is four or five boxes. And we'll clarify that in the Gemara in a minute. Now, let me just mention also in the Rashi. So Rashi brings up, we said that a person could clear out Truma Tahora. So Truma Tahora, even if I'm a non-Kohen, I can move Truma Tahora, but not the Truma Tamea. So he talks about, Rashi says, this is a little bit of a machlok, no, it's machloket, they said between the Balama or disagrees with this. Rashi holds that Truma Tamea can be disposed of by feeding it to an animal. Truma Tamea, let's say I have a truman that became like oil, so I could burn it. In other words, I have to burn it, or I can't eat it anymore. The Kohen can't eat it. So Rashi says it could be given to a dog to eat it. And the Bala Ma'or doesn't agree with that. But Naniach, Rashi says, though, but on Shabbos and Yontiv, I can't do that. Remember, we learned, it was based on Pesukim, that you're not allowed to be Mevaer. Remember, we have on Bamem Adlikin, what is it? Imalikim with Shemin Sreifa, right? You can't use Shemin Sreifa because Shemin Sreifa is like the Truman that became Tamea. I can't dispose of it on Shabbos or Yontiv. Okay, so that's just the Ha'ara that Rashi points out. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Go ahead, Fern. What do you got for me?
The Mishnah is fine. Just something what you said, that if it's muktzah, you're dead in the water. I thought we learned that it was subject to machloket, makomo, you know, Torah.
No. Remember, that's just for kli shemalach to leisur. That's one narrow category of muktzah. Well, the other ones, they don't have tzorach gufo makomo on it. Okay? All right. All right, just kli shemalach to leisur. Okay, that's the most lenient form of muksa. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. So we're five lines from the bottom on kuf chaf of beis. So Gemara hashta chamesh b'fanin arbim vayis. So the Gemara says, the Tana of the Mishnah says, I can clear out four and five boxes of tevin or tevua. So if I can clear out five box, we think that the Mishnah is telling me I'm limited to five boxes. And Tosa says each box is three saw. So that's the amount of tircha that I could do. That's what we think. So if I can clear out five boxes, I certainly can clear out four boxes. So what is the Tana telling me? You find an arba b'chamesh. Just say you find a chamesh. So the Gemara says, now we're going to have two pshatim in the Mishnah. So the first pshat is Amar Rav Chista arba b'chamesh. So Rav Chista says the pshat is that I can remove four of five. In other words, that I cannot, in other words, Rav Chista is going to say, I'm going to max out at five. I can never move more than five. But I also have another rule. I can't clear everything away from like the storage area. And there's a concern that I'll come to be mashva guma. I'll see the floor and I'll say, oh, this floor looks terrible. and then I'll try to smooth out the floor and then I'll be chayav from lechet bona. So Amar Rav Chista arba mechamesh. So Rav Chista says it means I can clear away four of five. So if in the storage area I have five sa'ah, then I can clear away four sa'ah. I have to leave a fifth sa'ah on the floor, presumably. He says, and then we have in parentheses and some take it out, but it's not going to make too much difference. Ikita amrin, arba meyotzar katan, v'chamesh meyotzar gadol. And some say that I could take four from an otzar katan, meaning the otzar katan would be an otzar storage area that has five sa'ah. So I could take four of the five, or v'chamesh meyotzar gadol. If I have a big otzar, but I'm capped at five. In other words, that's the most that I could remove. And then umaya baloda otsar, and what do the words of the Mishnah mean? Loda otsar, which is like the storage area. Shloyachil ba otsar and tchila. That 1 minute. Yeah, I shouldn't begin taking produce from a previously unused store. In other words, let's say I have a storage area. I put it off. It's like for a year, and I'll come back to it next year, whatever, you know, like, so then that's muksa itself. In other words, because I'm katsumidaiti. So if it's something that like I'm not using, so then I can't start taking things away from there at all. Bechlal, umani Rabbi Yehudahi to idle muksa. So according to whom would the Mishnah go? The way Rav Chis is explaining to me, that would be according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who holds like from an expansive view of muksa, expansive view of muksa. So, one second. All right. So again, so according to Rav Chisda, so the idea of the Mishnah is I'm limited to moving five boxes of tevua. That's what the halakha in the Mishnah is, five boxes, but that has to be weighed against also another concern that I shouldn't come to be mash v'gumot. I shouldn't come to like level the floor. So because that, so if I have an otsar that only has five, you know, like five boxes worth, which would be, you know, 15 sa'ah, so I can only clear away four sa'ah of it. Four boxes worth, which would be 12 sa'ah. Let me out the sa'ah. That was, so four out of five boxes, or if it's a big otsar, five boxes, but I always have to leave, you know, I can't do more than five boxes, and I always have to leave some tevua on the floor, so I'm not coming to be mashva gumo. That's the basic idea we learned. And then he also said that if I have an otsar that I haven't touched, then that's muksa, and I have to, it's hands off with that. Hands off with that. Okay. All right. Any questions on Rav Chisda Pshat? What's up?
Yeah, what if you need to use this otsar that you haven't used in a long time?
So that's muksa. You can't, you know, it's not, again, we're not, this isn't a question of using it. It's a question of clearing away the space for people to sit. That's what we're really talking about. We'll say again.
Okay, so you want to have a minyan in there.
Yeah, so according to this pshat Rav Chisda, you're up a creek. You can't move it. Tough luck. It's muksa. That's it.
Only if you started from...
In other words, these are the circumstances under which you can move it. Otherwise not. That's according to Rav Chisda. Is it okay?
Sure.
Okay? All right, now let's see the next pshat. Now the halacha is really going to be like Rav Chisda, which is going to come out to be the more chamor of the two shitot. He says, on the bottom line, Ushmul Amar, Arav of Chamesh. Shmuel says, no, when it says four and five, top line in Kuf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Kida Amri Inchi, like the way people talk. Like I say, you know, I'm going to pick up four or five apples in the store. You know what I mean? So I don't say, you know, why four or five or something like that. So it means I'm the sky's the limit. I can move as much as I need. And if I need, I could even move more according to Shmuel. He says, Umaya. So again, Rav Chisda said I was limited, and that's Arba v'Chamesh. I have this limitation, and he says, Umay Avar Loada Otsar. He says, but what is Loada Otsar, which is the line in the Mishnah? So Loada Otsar, so Rav Chisda, in his original pshat, incorporated the idea that I shouldn't finish off everything because I'll come to be Mashra Gumot. And Loada Otsar, that he used, that I shouldn't touch like an Otsar that hasn't been touched, that's Muksa. So here in this pshat, four and five means I can do four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. I can do anything. Umay lo ava lo ada otsar. What is lo ada otsar? Shlo yigmor kulo duma ati la shvi gumot. So here he comes to the same idea, but he used that lo ada otsar to teach me that I shouldn't, you know, finish off everything. Aval ad chule marchil. But if there's a store, I have a storage area and I want to start from scratch, yeah, I could move it. He says, Umani, Reb Shimon, he lately muksa. And who would that, according to that pshat, who would the Mishnah be going like Reb Shimon, lately muksa? In other words, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon have this machloket about how expansive muksa is. And according to Reb Yehuda, things can be muksa even if I haven't done anything physically with it. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm nothing to do with this. It's muksa. And according to Reb Shimon, I have to physically, actively do something to make it muksa. So this thing is not muksa, according to Reb Shimon. Okay, so let's just summarize again what we learned, and then I'll move on. So we're trying to figure out the pshat in the Mishnah. This is Mefane Arba V'Chamesh Kupot. And we said, according to Tosfos, Kupa is a standard size. It means a box that holds three sa'a. And a sa'a, he said, was like around 2 gallons. So three sa'a would be like 6 gallons, you know, of grain. So the person... So it's not muksa. We're talking about, so if it's muksa item, then it's, you know, out the door. We're not talking about moving muksa. We're talking about moving non-muksa items. But even moving non-muksa items is a concern for tircha on Shabbos and on yantiv. And exertion doesn't mean I break out in a sweat. It means I'm exerting myself in an area that the chazal felt is not appropriate to exert myself in on Shabbos and yantiv. So according to the first pshat, which was Rav Chista, which is going along with Rabbi Yehuda, so arba v'chamesh means 4 out of 5. In other words, I have to always leave some tavua on the ground, which is really the other pshat agrees with as well, but it's arba mechamesh, or it means, or else arba meotzar katan, 4 from a small otzar and 5 from an otzar gadol, but it's, that's it. I can't move more than 5 boxes, according to Rav Chista. And then loada otsar, if I have an area that I haven't touched, like I put it away, like, you know, see around, you know, in a year, whatever, that's muksa, according to the first pshat. According to the second pshat, what does arba v'chamesh mean? Arba v'chamesh means it could be 4, 5, 6, 7. There's no limit. I can move as much as I need to move. And for, again, when we say need to move, it's for a mitzvah. That's the other thing. As I'm moving it either from hachnasat orachim, or for the base medrash. Those are mitzvahs. That's why I'm moving it. So I can move whatever I need. But the second opinion also subscribes to the idea, but they learn it from Avaloda Otsar, that I shouldn't clear out something totally to the ground because I may come to be mashva gubot. And the second shot is going like Reb Shimon. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, move on. Okay, now we're 5 lines from the top. So now these brises are going to work more with, so we had two pshatim, Rav Chista and Shmuel. We're going to, in the Gemara, mostly refer to Rav Chista. I think all of them Rav Chista. So we're going with the more Chamor Shita now, okay? So according to the Chamor Shita, I'm capped at 5 boxes, and the Otsar I can't touch. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, in Marchilin Ba'otsar Tchila, that I can't, like, touch an otsar, like something which has been put away into storage, aval osa bo shvil, I can make a pathway, kideshi kines v'yetze, so in other words, so that I can enter and exit. So I don't know if he wants a passage through the area. I don't know if it's like the two is in the living room, whatever, but I can make a passage that I can walk through there. So the Gemara says, osa bo shvil, v'amri ein marchilin, in Marchilin, but you just said I can't like touch this thing. Hachi kamar osebo shvil baraglav b'chnisato v'yitziato, that I'll make a shvil, a pathway with my feet. In other words, now I'll move. In other words, I have all this pile of tavua, and I want to walk through the area. So with my feet, I'll push away the grains. So we had the other day the idea of tiltul menatzad. Remember tiltul menatzad? That's when I took another object to move the muksa. That was tiltul menatzad. So the in other words, like, let's say I had the muksa on a table and I tipped the table. That's tiltul menatzad. And now we have tiltul begufo. Tiltul begufo, I use a part of my body, not my hands, to move something. Let's say I'll move it with my feet. I'll move it with my elbow. That's tiltul begufo. Tiltul begufo. So here the Tana of the Bryce is saying I do a tiltul begufo. Now in the footnotes they mention that there's a little bit of machloket. He says in footnote 6, he says the chazon ish infers from the Gemara here that it's only when the muksa is moved incidental to a different activity, meaning I just happen to be walking back and forth, and as a result of my walking back and forth, I'll be able to create the path. That's the way the Chazon Ish learns the sugya. But he says the Mishnah Berurah understands that you're even allowed to simply move it, the muksa. In other words, like, I'll just stick my foot and push the muksa, you know, to one side or another side. All right? What's up?
Can you kick a rock or a pebble on Shabbos?
So the... if
we learned...
Yeah, I would not do that just like for sport or for fun, but I would think that if the pebble or the rock is in a place that, let's say, you're afraid people are going to, you know, slip and fall on, I would think that you could move it with your foot and to be able to get into the house a little more easily. That's what I would think. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now.
Why is it not muksa? Can't you feed it to your animal?
So again, it's because this is within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But in other words, when I put it for storage, it means I don't intend to touch this thing for a zillion years. So I'm not thinking I'm not thinking of it as animal food going. I'm thinking of anything. I'm just, it's out of my side, out of my mind. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Tavuat Savura, Bizman Shilchu B'Meir Shabbat, and Lutar L'Stapek Meir B'Shabbat. If I have Tavuat, Tavuat is, you know, grain that's piled up. If I began using it on Friday, so I can still continue using it on Shabbos, V'Mlav Asur L'Stapek Meir B'Shabbat, Devi Reb Shimon. Otherwise, I can't, you know, use it, according to Reb Shimon. Now, Reb Shimon is usually a big makil by Muxin. That's what we don't understand here. Rabbi Acha Matir. Rabbi Acha is Matir. So this, Lechora, is the same type of thing that we were talking about with the Otsar. In other words, it's the same idea. I have the Tzvut Tzvura. In other words, if it's food that's in usage, not Muxin, it's not in usage, it is Muxin. That's the way that the... And when he says Tzvut Tzvura, let me see, does he say how much this is? 1 second. Yeah. So it's piled up. So what does Rashi say in this? He's got here. Yeah. He says on the fourth white line of Rashi, Tvut Svura Mucha Milta de Huxa the Otsar. That's like proof that it was like for an Otsar. In other words, it's like piled up. It's like, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So the Gemara says, Klape Lai, what direction is this going in? In other words, we're used to Reb Shimon is the more Mekil by Dini Muksa, and here he's a big machmir. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema, the way we should understand the Braisa is Divrei Rabbi Acha. The Rabbi Acha is the one who's more machmir. Rabbi Acha would be lined up with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon is Matir. So then everything is hunky-dory. So the idea is, I have the Muksa is the food, the item is piled high up, and I don't intend to use it, you know, on Shabbos, going into Shabbos. And so Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Acha hold that's Muksa, and Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it's not Muksa. In other words, unless I've done a Maisa with it, it's not Muksa. That's the way Rabbi Shimon's holding. Okay, now, Tana Totna Braisa, Kama Shir Tzvuat Tzvura. So how much is a Shir of Tzvuat Tzvura? We said, I am running into problems. If I have all the Tzvuat that's piled high, how much is that? So Letech, the Gemara says Letech. And Rashi says Letech, Chatzi Kur Hu Chameshes Reisein, 15 Sa'a. 15 Sa'a would be like this whole Otsar that I shouldn't touch it. Okay, now, or subject to the Machloket. So Bai Minei Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia Mei Abaye, Shir Tzvuat Tzvura B'Kama, Amarlei, Hare Amru, Shir Tzvuat Tzvura Letech. It says the same thing. Okay, now, Ibai Lahu, Hani Arva Chamesh Kupot, De Ka'amar, Ba'arva V'Chamesh Kupot in Tfei Lo, Amal Miute Bihiducha Adif, Odilma Lamiute Masui Adif. So now, what the Gemara is after is when we say, like, I'm limited to four, or again, going within the first shot, which is Rav Chista, that I'm limited to moving four or five boxes. So is that four or five trips? In other words, I get four or five shots out of it. In other words, is it that the halakha doesn't want me making more than five trips on Shabbos to move things? Or is it just equally as good if I take a lot of smaller containers? So let's say I have these big boxes. Let's say I have small boxes. So I could take 100 small boxes if it's the same volume. In other words, let's say the five boxes, each box is 3 sa'a, so 15 sa'a. So let's say I have a box that holds 1 sa'a. So could I take 15 boxes of 1 sa'a? Or is the halakha telling me, we're makpid, we don't have to make more than 5 trips. Don't go back and forth more than 5 times, that's it. And or is it just like volume? That's really what it boils down to. So Tashma, so the Gemara says, we're going to bring a raya. The Tani Chari, we learn in one braisa, Mefani nafilu arba v'chamish kupot, Shalkari Shemen, Shalkari Yayin. In one braisa, we learn that one can move even 4 or 5 boxes of jugs of oil and jugs of wine. That's one braisa. He says, "Batani idach be'eser u'v'chamesh esrei." And then in another braisa, we learn that I can even move 10 or 15. It sounds like, so my law, Bahak Miflagi, is it not that the point of dispute between the two braises follows? The Mar Svar Miuti Bihilucha Adif. We think the first braisa holds the key is how much walking you're doing. So how much walking, we don't want more than 5 trips, 5 boxes, that's it. Umar Svar Miuti Bimasu Yadif. And the second one holds that it's or better or at least equally good if I'm, or I'd rather prefer to have a lesser weight. So lesser weight, each trip, each thing is less tircha. In other words, like, you know, it's less calories moving 1 sa or half a sa. So the Gemara says low. Everybody holds that you know, going less times is more preferable. Did you think that 10 and 15 is referring to the number of boxes involved? It's talking to the number of jugs. And there was, the Gemara is going to explain that when the second brisa says even 10 or 15, it's talking about how, in other words, the first brisa is talking about I'll fit one jug in one box. So that's so each jug, you know, is whatever, you know, let's say it holds the three saw, whatever. That's, and the second brisa is saying there'll be smaller jugs, so I can fit two jugs in each box or three jugs in each box. And so I'll have 10 or 15 jugs, but it'll be the same number of boxes and same number of trips. He says, below kasha, the first price is saying I'm taking one jug in a box, and that's the way it's going. He says, And then the second price is maybe two jugs, smaller jugs in a box is 10. He says, or else three jugs, smaller jugs. So it's 15. Uvadikuri dar harpanya, and that would be by the jugs. And harpanya, those would work out that way. So again, we were focusing in, are we makpid on the number of trips? Or makpid on the number, on the volume, you know, or maybe I could break it down into smaller containers. So we haven't been able to min makhriya that yet. So from these brises, it just sounds like, so far, that it's like the trips. Okay, now, so one second. All right, now, the Gemara says, Hibaylahu, Hani Arba B'chamesh Tekamar, Afagav did lay orchin tuva, odilma hakulafi ha orchin. Now we said again, focusing on Rav Chista's shita that he can only move five boxes, is that regardless of how many? Let's say I'm expecting 100 guests to the seder, or whatever. So and you know, it's not like a home here in Great Neck. I got the tefuah alone in the living room, whatever. So am I limited to moving like four or five boxes, even though I got 100 guests coming? Or maybe it means per guest, I can move four or five boxes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the question. He says, maybe it depends on things. And if you think everything depends on the number of guests, he says, Chad gavra mafani lekulhu. So does it mean one person has to do all the moving? Odilma gavra begavra mafani lenafshi. Or maybe everybody should be moving their own, clearing out their own space.
Put the guests to work.
Yeah, putting everybody to work, right. All right, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Amar Rabba, Amar B'chia, Pamachad halach Rebbe, l'makomachad, once Rebbe went to a certain location, v'ra'amakom dachuk l'talmidim, he saw that, like, there's not enough room for all the talmidim in this place. He wants to give a shir, and there's not enough room there. V'yatsa l'sadeh, so he went out to a field, u'matsa sadeh m'leya omrim, he found, this is the area that he wants to use in this field, and I don't know how many people are in his shir, let's say 100 people in the shir, and he sees the field is filled with omrim, bundles of tevua. So he says, v'imer Rebbe kula sadeh kula, and Rebbe cleared away the whole sada. Rebbe cleared away the whole sada. So the Gemara says, Shmaminaha kolafi ha'orchim. So if that's the case, it sounds like the more guests you have, the more you're able to move. Because if Rebbe cleared away the whole sada, doesn't sound like it's limited to four and five on the gross level, just per guest. Rav Yosef Amru Oshia, so the Gemara brings another story. Rav Chiya went to a location. He saw the place was very, you know, tight for all the talmidim. And Rav Chiya cleared away the whole thing. So here we see that it's not five boxes total. It was five boxes per guest. But if you have 100 guests, you can move even more. That's the way it seems like. So it's coming out, it's interesting, like, you know, when you analyze these machlokot, they aren't as far apart as you think initially. So initially we thought it's like night and day, because Rav Chista held, you're capped at five boxes, and Shmuel held, the sky's the limit. But now it's really coming out that even Rav Chista holds that the four or five is per guest. So it's not quite such a stark you know, difference in that respect between the two shitot. Now the Gemara says, "Va'adayin tibayla chad gavra mafanin lekula udimu kol chad gavra mafanin lenafshe." But still, we have to answer the question: does only one person do the clearing, or is everyone? In other words, is one person entitled to clear away everything, or do I have to divide it up? In other words, it's too much tircha for one person to clear away the whole thing, not because of, like, you know, wages and hours standards, but al pi halacha, it's not reasonable to expect one person to clear away everything. Too much tircha. Do I have to divide it up, or maybe one person could do everything? So tashma, so the Gemara brings a proof, v'imir Rebbe, Rebbe cleared away the whole field. So if Rebbe's clearing away the whole field, doesn't sound like I have to divvy it up. So the Gemara says, v'latamech, according to your rationale, Rebbe b'zanafsha, imir, you think Rebbe himself cleared away the field? Rebbe Zanasi, he says, Ela tziva v'imer. So he directed, when he says he cleared the field, it means that he took care that the whole field would be cleared. So he directed somebody to clear away. So it could be, it's not muchrach, it could be that everybody has to clear away from themselves. Now, let me just get the Shulchan Aruch out. I just want to read a line or two, and then I'll be with you in 1 minute, Fern. Okay, let me just get one second.
How's everyone? Good. Hi, Yosef.
Okay. You're all being recorded. Don't forget. No.
We didn't say anything bad.
Okay. One second.
I'm still waiting for the stories on this stuff.
Okay, it's coming. Just be patient. Okay. Now, this is in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel in Or HaChaim, Sheleg. So the Mechaber says, "Otsar shel tzvua shel kad yayin, af bi shemutar l'stapek menu, asur l'achil bo l'fanoto, l'bar mitzvah." So he says, one second. Yeah. So he says, "B'keitzad mefaneu, how do I clear it away? Imayaha otsar gadol, mefanu menu chamesh kupot, I can clear away 5 kupot, loy bo l'chamesh kupot, mefanu, that we did, 4 and the 5, and that we have. And then he says also, shemefana elu arba u'chamesh kupot, lo yichal kei mekupot ketanot. A person shouldn't break them down into small kupot. Lo holicham baharbe pamim, to make a lot of trips. Kedi lahakil amasu, he make less weight. Nei shemar bebehiloch va'av shemil tetfei. He's like he's creating too many trips. Va'av shemil tetfei means it's like too much publicity. Like everybody knows. I see, Reuven is busy working back and forth. So the lesser is the way to go with it. And then he says in Sif Gimel, Elu arba chamesh kupot shafana haynu lo reich echad. That's for one guest, 4 or 5. V'imbau lo harbe mefana kishir hazilichol reich v'reich. About a lot of guests, so I can clear away more. V'achlo yifana echad l'kulam. But one person should not clear away for everybody. Dika tircha yitera. Ela kol echad yifnel l'atzmo. That everybody should clear away for himself. O acher yifne bado, or somebody on his behalf. But in other words, the idea is like one person shouldn't be doing all the work to clear away like 100 boxes worth. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts?
You did, just an aside, you did say something about Rebbe being the Nasi.
Right.
So he would order people to do it. But didn't you say in the Parsha Shir on Friday that Yehoshua would move the benches himself or someone? Was that you?
That's true. We did learn that Yehoshua moved the Saf Salim. I tell you, it's tricky.
It's tricky when you go to both shiurim.
No. What do you want to say?
He's talking about on Shabbos not doing it. Yeshua did it every day.
Right.
No,
right.
But I'm talking about his status did not prevent him from doing the scut work.
Yeah. So you're touching on an issue. On the one hand, a person has to have an nevus, and that's what Yeshua did. Once the person is like the
established
head, he's the Rosh, like he's the Rav. So it's sometimes it's like not even kavod for the tzibur that he should do these things. You know what I mean? It's like a tricky issue. Like, you know, people have their own, you know, in their mind. But let's say, is it appropriate for the rabbi, the shul, to mop the floor in the shul? Let's say everybody's mopping the floor. So, I hear like, but there's an idea like the Rav, you know, like
it's beneath him.
Well, he should be held like in a different getter. You know, getter. In other words, but you're right. But the issue of a nevus does come into play. But that's the way I would think of it. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Let's keep moving. Now, let's take a look. Okay. So we're on the fourth wide line on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. So now we get to we're getting close to our stories now, Fern. Okay, welcome, Aaron Moshe. Okay, we're 8 lines from the bottom on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, 127a. Aaron Moshe, you hear me? Raise your hand if you hear me, Aaron Moshe. Okay, so on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, around 10 lines from the bottom. So Mipnei Ha'orchim Chulei, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Gdola Hachnasat Orchim, Kashkamet Beit Midrash. So Rabbi Yochanan says, like, it's so significant welcoming guests in one's house, like getting up early to go to the base matters. In other words, those two are equivalent. He says, the katani means that they're both equivalent mitzvahs, is Trani saying. He says, the katani, mipneha orachim nebitu beta medrash. Since we see that the Mishnah equates the two, in other words, on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to go around moving things here, then the other thing. But for a mitzvah, I could do it. And the time of the Mishnah, he gives an example of two mitzvahs. And the two mitzvahs he gives is arachnas zorachim and for the base medrash. So it sounds like there's an equivalence between the two. Rabdimi neiradam or yoter mehashkam beit medrash. Rabdimi says it's more significant than hashkam. In other words, like lachor, you would say hashkam beit medrash is more important. So he says welcoming guests in the house is like more important than getting up early to go to the base medrash. Dikatanim neorachim v'hadam nebitu beit medrash. We look, you both mention the Mishnah. But the Mishnah mentions the Orchim first before, in other words, he says, you're going to move all these boxes. He says, Bibnea Orchim, they beat Beta Medrash. So it sounds like Orchim are more important. Amar Abira Marav, Gdullah Hachtasat Orchim, Echbal Pnei Shechina. So it's more important to welcome Orchim in the house than even, he's going to a different level, Echbal Pnei Shechina, to like receiving God's divine presence. He says, Zechtiv, Vayomar, and here should be Hashem, like the Shon Adnus, on the side he corrects it with an Aleph Dalid, and then a Nun Yud. He says, Vayomar, Hashem im namatzat chiminecha on the tabur v'gomer. So you all know and remember in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, so Avram Avinu had just gone through Bris Mila. He's sitting in his tent. He sees these malachim, and a Kaddish Baruch who appears to him. And then the way the Gemara takes it is Avram Avinu says, Hashem, you know, please wait here a minute. He says, I go take care of the guests. So that sounds like, you know, seeing the guests is more important. Now, the Gemara Masechet Shavuot has machloket, what it means when he said, Vayomar Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is it Lashon Kodesh or Lashon Chol? So it's machloket in the Gemara. In other words, either he's speaking to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like Hashem, you know, I have to please excuse me for a minute, or he was speaking to the Malachim and saying, my masters. So this Gemara is going, according to Tzad, that it's Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh. So he says, Amar Blazar, Bo Reish, Lo Kimi Lekaddish Baruch Hu, Midap Asar Badam. Midap Asar Badam, Mikatani Chol Mar Gadol, Hamteinat Shavu Etzlecha. Means with human mortals, like the Katan, like the person, you know, like if you're a lowly employee, you can't say to the boss, wait for me, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. You know, you know where you're going to be headed with that. He says, Ve'ilu b'kadosh baruch hu k'tiv, he says, Vayomar, Hashem imna matzati v'gomer. But Avram did that with a kadosh baruch hu. You know, the only thing I could say is that, you know, that there's the Rambam, in Mor Nevuchim, and the Ramban in his Pirush Chumash mentions this at the beginning parts of Vayera, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says this was all a vision. In other words, like there were never malachim that appeared to Avram Avinu. In other words, Avram Avinu just like has a vision of all these things, and in the vision, like in other words, he sees that Hashem appearing to him, and then he says to Hashem, you know, like all these things take place in a vision, according to the way the Rambam understands it. But the simple pshat, the way most Mefarshim take it, is that Hashem appears to him, and then he goes off to these malachim to welcome those guests. So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yassim Rabbi Yochanan, Shishadri Madam Ochel Pratim Lomazeh, but Karen Kayim Olam Ba. Now Peru and Karen is the principal. Peru is like the interest-bearing account. You know, that's the Peru. Whereas you have a field, the field is the Karen, and then the produce it you know grows each year. That's your Peru. That's literally Peru. So he says there's six things that a person gets the Peru in this world, but the mother load you get in the Olam Haba. He says, Ve'eluhain, achnasad orachim, welcoming guests in the house, ubikur cholim, visiting sick people. The iyun tefillah means, and again, we said iyun tefillah could be positive or negative. Here it means positive, having kavana in the tefillah for the words. In other words, I have kavana to what I'm saying. In other words, iyun tefillah. The negative way is if I have kavana that Hashem should answer my prayers. You know, but he says, in other words, but iyun tefillah, he says, v'hashkama bein ha-midrash, if I get up early to go to the beis medrash, v'magala banav l'tamud Torah, I raise my kids with Torah. If I judge my chaver in a favorable way. So that's the statement for Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is this true?" He says, "V'ha'anantanan." But we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Peah, and you all know this Mishnah. We say it with a slightly different in the morning. You have to brukha the Torah. The following thing, you get payro in this world and the keren is the next world. Now, none of them seem lechora to even match up. Now, Rabbi Yochanan mentioned six items. Now we're mentioning different items. Kibud avaim, honoring your parents and father and mother. We didn't mention that before. Ugimilut chasadim, we didn't mention that before. Ugimilut chasadim is when you do chesed for somebody. Bahavat shalom, Shabbein Adam L'Chaveiro, bringing peace between people. We didn't mention that. But Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, we didn't mention that either. So Hani in Midiyach Mina Lo. So it sounds like this is what she got. So here in the Mishnah, we mentioned, I think, four items, right? One, two, three, four. And none of the four items were the same as what Rabbi Yochanan mentioned. So, and Rabbi Yochanan's on Amari doesn't want to argue in Mishnah. So turn page, top line on Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Hani Nami, and we'll leave out the parentheses, Bahani Shaychi. So he says that Rabbi Yochanan's lists are subsumed in the list that was in the Mishnah. And Rashi will take it down, and then we'll discuss. So look at the top line in Rashi. Hachi Yorsin Hani Nami Bahani Shaychi. Hachnasat Urechim Vikracholim Hainu Gimilut Chasadim. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan mentioned Hachnasat Urechim, welcoming guests in the house. Yochanan mentioned Bikur Cholim, visiting sick people. So that's all subsumed under the category of Gemilat Chesed. The Mishnah said Gemilat Chesed, you do Chesed. So it's not like there's a steerer between the two. It's just and Rabbi Yochanan's giving an application to it. He says on the second line of Rashi, V'iyun Tefillah is concentrating in Tefillah and Davening, Hainu Bechlal Gemilat Chesedim. Rashi says that's also a type of chesed. That's a chesed you do with yourself. One minute. He says, Dichtiv, Gumel Nafsho Ish Chesed. So there's a pasuk that says, if a person is Gumel Nafsho Ish Chesed, he's like doing kindness for himself, he's doing chesed. But here, and on the side, if you look in the blurb in the Masor Sashas, he says, the Nefesh Hainu Tefillah. So he says, "Gomel nafsho nefesh hainu tefillah l'chiv gabichana v'shpochet nafshi l'vnei Hashem." The word nefesh alludes to tefillah. So gomel nafsho ish chesed. So in other words, if I'm doing myself a favor by having kavana and tefillah. That's also gemilat chesedim. Then the third line, hashkama beit hamidrash v'gidul banim l'talmud Torah. So getting up early to go to the beis medrash and raising your sons for talmud Torah. I know Talmud Torah. So Talmud Torah was mentioned in the Mishnah that we got. Dan chaveru l'chav zechut, and you should judge somebody favorably, he says, Bechlal haba'at shalom. That's included in haba'at shalom, bringing peace between people. Demitoch shehu machriya lo zechut, since I judge people favorably, it means that there's an ambiguous situation, and it could be positive, it could be negative, but I judge the person favorably. He says, Va'amar lo chatali b'zod. So, like I think maybe the person did something bad to me, but then I think anusaya, he couldn't have done anything differently. He was anus. He says, oh, letovin et kavein, or he probably had a good intention in mind. It came out bad, but his intentions were good. He says, yesh shalom beinein. So if in my mind I'm thinking lechav zechus, so then automatically there's shalom between me and my friend. Rabbi Yochanan lefarish lecha ata. So Rabbi Yochanan is really coming to explain the Bechlal Shloshet Zmanitin in Na'ul Harach Shisha, that within the three items in the Mishnah that we'd mentioned, which were Gemilas Chasadim and Talmud Torah and Habat Shalom, I think there were five of them, six of them. V'ikinami l'kibur Abba'im, Kibud Avayim is also included with it. Rabbi Yochanan lo paligale. It means, I didn't say right. V'ikanam lo kibud avayim. There's another one, kibud avayim, honoring your parents. That is new ground. Rabbi Yochanan's not cholik on that, but it's just he's giving applications for the what the Mishnah mentioned in Masechet Peah. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? Hey, what's up?
Just what you said about davening the positive and the negative. Can you elaborate on that, please?
What did I say, positive and negative? I don't remember saying anything about that. What?
When you were going through davening, you said one was with the kavana.
Oh, yeah. In other words, the Gemara uses the term iyun tefillah in two different ways. One is iyun tefillah, I have kavana for my words, I have kavana, I'm focused
your
on
words of hoda'a?
No. It means like I'm not on automatic pilot. I really think.
Okay,
And then the other is Ian Tefillah. I'm thinking, why doesn't Hashem answer my prayers? And it was, when is he like going to answer this? That's not good. You know, it was I have an expectation that my prayers are going to be responded to. You know, I want A, B, and C, that Hashem is going to do A, B, and C.
Isn't that the Ramban's theory of tefillah, that you do it in an eight sakana, or when you really want something?
Yeah, right. We have bakashot, but it means the person's approaching, like, that Hashem has to fulfill my bakasha. And I should realize, like, you know, like a person's an eved, he's not even ruhi to be anything done for him. You know what I mean? In other words,
yet, we still have bakasha, and
right.
On some level, we have expectation that
we wouldn't make those. We hope that Hashem will answer our tefillot. But
right.
We don't,
sometimes the answer is no.
Right, that's exactly it. So a person has to be prepared for whatever. In other words, like if a person realizes that he's not worthy, that any of his bakashot should be fulfilled, then whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good. That's the right attitude. Not the, you know, I ask for it, like I expect the you know.
It's not a magiali, right? I get it. Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Everybody good with this? All right. Let's take a look. You know, I didn't do this with you on Friday, but in the last week's parsha of Shavua, Rav Simon had a piece about, you know, Dan Chaver Lechav Zechud, and the way I remember it was that
for Kinchas,
yeah,
that he should have.
it came up there that when I judge the person favorably, just the fact that I pronounce something like that. In other words, why is it Dan Chaveru? Why am I judging him? Dan Chaveru. Why that Lashon Dan? So he said that, like, if I judge him favorably and I articulate that, then that creates, like, in Shemayim, like a type of malach that's like an intercessor for that person. So it's like, in other words, it's like, it's not just like I'm like, in other words, in Shemayim, it causes the judgment to be more favorable for the person. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Now,
Isn't it the way you judge somebody else? The Bnei Shalom is going to judge you.
Right. That's
essentially
that's
the idea.
Right. Okay. Fine. Okay. That's sort of it, but I think he was saying more than that. He was saying, let's say Reuven is judging Shimon, and Reuven is judging Shimon favorably. The fact that Reuven judges Shimon favorably causes in Shemayim that there should be a favorable din for Shimon. In other words, because since I'm like, you know, articulating this thing, that's I think the piece that he was focusing. But what you said is also good, Aaron Moshe. Okay, let's take a look at the.
So you don't have a right to expect your bakasha to be answered, but you have enough gava to think that I have enough power to cause something different to happen for another person.
No, we're not gaiva. In other words, this is getting off on a little bit of a tangent, but like, in other words, the pshat would
Those
be
the best
that's the way the world works. In other words, why is it done? In other words, like the Metzias is, when I judge people, it creates like a favorable malach and shemayim that's interceding on that person's behalf.
All right. That makes me a very powerful person.
Well, it means it's
the approach to tefillah.
All right.
Your approach to tefillah, if you come into Davin Mincha and you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm here, here's my list. It's a little different.
Yeah. You know, all right. I don't have time. I mean, there's two different things you're talking about. One, Aaron Moshe is talking about the earlier topic, which is Ian Tefillah, and she's talking about this last topic about Dan Chaver. But let me move on. Now, on the second line on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So, Tan Rabbanan, Adan Chaver Lechav Zchud, Dan Anotol Lechav Zchud, There was an incident with a person from the Galil Ha'elyon, from the Upper Galilee, who hired himself out to Baal HaBayit in the south for 3 years. Now, a similar story is brought down, and the article brings it down in the Shiltot, in Simon Mem, in the Shiltot. And so the Shiltot is brought down that the Baal HaBayit was Reb Lezer ben Horkanus, and the worker was Rabbi Akiva. And it seems like both before that they grew in Torah, in other words, Rabbi Akiva before he became a Talmud Chacham, and even Reb Lezer ben Horkanus, it sounds like that it was before he became Reb Lezer ben Horkanus. He says, Erev Yom HaKippurim, we have Yom HaKippurim, on the side he's got a different gear, so Erev HaRegel, Amar Lo Tein Li Schari Ve'eleich Ve'ezun Ishti Banai. So the worker, who he said is Rabbi Akiva, said, you know, I've been working for 3 years. Let me have my salary, my 3 years salary, and I want to go, you know, bring sustenance to my wife and my children. Amar Lo Ein Li Maot. He says, I don't have money. No money. He says, now in the Shiltot, it says that Rabbi Akiva saw he had money, but he says he doesn't have money. Amar Lo Tein Li Peirot. He says, okay, so give me produce. You know, you're a wealthy guy. Let me have the produce. He says, Amar Lo Ein Li, I don't have that. And then the Shiltot, he sees he's got the payroll over. He says, Tein Li Karka, give me land. Ein Li, I don't have land. Tein Li Behema, Ein Li. Tein Li Karmuk Satot, give me pillows and cushions, Ein Li. Hefshil Kilav La Achara Balach Leveto Pache Nefesh. So he says here, the worker slung his belongings over his back, Kelav. Anyway, he says, and he went dejectedly home. So he says, L'achar HaRegel, after Yontiv, means after Sukkot, Natar Baal HaBayit Scharo B'yado. So Baal HaBayit came, he brought all the money. Again, the Baal HaBayit's in the Darom and Rabbi Akiva's in the Galil HaElyon. V'imo Masui Shlosha Chamorim. He brings three donkeys with him, loaded up. Echad Shel Ma'achal, one donkey is loaded up with food. The Echad Shel Mishta, one with drink. The Echad Shel Mina Migadim, one delicacies. V'alachlu Leveito, and then he travels to the worker's home. Achar She'achlu V'shatu, and after they eat, they drink. He says, Natan Lo Scharo. He gave him his Scharo. I kind of would have thought you'd give the scar right the first thing. Here's the money. Now he can drink. But anyway, they eat and drink, and then he gives him the scharo. He says, Amar lo, b'shash amartli, ten li scharib, amarti, ein li maod, b'mecha shadatani. When you said, give me my money, and I said, I don't have any money, what did you think? What was going through your mind? What were you thinking? So he says, Amarti, shimme prachmati b'zol nizdam l'cha, b'lakachta b'hen. I thought that maybe you had like a, you know, financial opportunity. You brought merchandise at a cheap rate, and so you don't have any liquid. You're not no liquid assets now because you have all the prachmati that way. And it's going to come out that at the end he makes a neder. We'll see that even the prachmati he couldn't have given him. He says v'shasha amartli tein li behema v'amarti ein li behema b'mecha shadatani. He said, give me, was that, did I skip anything? No, yeah. So he said, when I said, you know, give me behema, and he said, I don't have any behemas, what did you think? Amarti shem muskeret b'yad acherim. I said, maybe he leased out the animals to other people. Then he says, "B'sha'asha amartli tinli karka v'amarti l'cha inli karka mecha shadatani." When he said, "Give me land," I said, "I don't have any land." What did you think? He says, "Amarti shemu keret biyad acherim hi." He says, "I thought maybe the land was also leased out. L'chakirut is a type of lease where you pay a set amount per each year, like in terms of bushels, like 50 bushels a year for the land." He says, "Uvashasha amarti l'cha inli peirot." I said, "I don't have any produce." But mecha shadatani, what did you think? Amarti shema inan muusarot. I thought maybe that maaser had not been taken from it. Uvashasha amarti l'cha inli karim sato. But mecha shadatani, I don't have pillows or cushions. What did you think? Amarti shema hikdish kol nachasav l'shamayim. I thought maybe you were makdish everything to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So amar lo habodak kachaya. He says that's exactly what took place. He says, "He darti kol nachasai b'shul hurkas b'ni shlo asak b'torah." He said that I made a neder that, you know, to give all my property and not get benefit from it because of Horkanus, my son, who was an Osek of Torah. Shabbati Yitzel Chavir Abid Darom, he truly called Nidri. Then I went to the Chachamim, they were Mati Neder. He says, V'atak Shem Shadan Tani Zchud, Habakom Yedinu Chal Zchud. Just like you judge me favorably, Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts?
comment. I just, it's, why did he wait 3 years to pay the guy? First of all, why did he pay as they were going along, number one? Number two, I remember reading, which I didn't even know, that you can get in the Shomer Yaseira during the week. The Arizal brings that down. Because it says, Be'itoi titain scharoi, right? Be'itoi titain scharoi.
It says, Be'omo titain scharoi.
Be'omo titain scharoi. So he says that if you pay a guy the way he's supposed to, after he finishes the job right away, you don't postpone him, then you're it's Oishi Shabbos. Those three words are Oishi Shabbos. And you get in the Shomer Yaseira.
Yeah. All right. So the only thing I could say with that is it depends on the agreement between the parties. So if like Chazal teach us, if he's a day worker, so then I have to pay him that day. If it's a week worker,
he's talking about a day worker.
Yeah. So I'm saying here with the 3 years, he said, why didn't he pay him earlier? The only thing I can assume is this is what their relationship was, that I'll pay you at the end of all your work. That's the only thing I could think of. All right. Now let's go on the second wide line. Tan Rabbanan, Master b'chassid echad. There was an incident with a chassid, one pious person, and Rashi brings down, and where's the Rashi? It's around the 10th narrow line. He says, Kol heichad erina master b'chassid echad, O Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, O Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. So, as a clown, whenever it says chassid echad, it looks like it's basically Gemara and Baba Kama. It's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. So back in the Gemara, the second medium wide line, Tanur Banam Asa B'Chassid Echad, Shabbatav Riba Echad, he redeemed one young girl, Bat Yisrael, who's Jewish, Umalon Hishkiba Tachat Marglotav, and then he puts her like near his feet when he goes to sleep. L'machar Yerad V'Taval, the next day he went to the mikveh. He says, now, according to like the, there was a, Takanas Ezra, you're not allowed to study Torah if you've had, a seminal emission, unless you're Tovel first. So the next morning, he's Yorei B'Tovel, he goes to the mikveh, B'Shanan Talmidav, and then he gave shir to his Talmidim. V'Yamar Lahem, B'Shashish Kivtia, Takat Mori Lotai, V'Echash Tzuni. When I put this girl, I let her sleep, like, near my feet. What were you thinking? What were you suspecting me of? So Amarnu, Shemi Yishbanu Talmid, Shenu Baduk L'Rebi. We said maybe that there's a Talmud, like you haven't checked him out fully, and so you didn't want to leave the girl, like, you know, we had access to her. He says, "B'shashi radti b'tavalti b'mechash tuni." When I was tovel, what did you think? Amarnu shemli torah chaderach. He wrote Kerry the Rebbe. We said because of, like, I don't know, like, you traveled a lot, so you end up with Kerry. Not that you chas v'shalom had relations with the girl. Amar lahem avodah kachayo. He says, and the avodah is like lashon shavua. That's the way it was. Vatem shim shantun lechav zechud. I'm coming to come lechav zechud. Just like you judge me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should as well view favorably. The only thing I can think of is the. I can't imagine that he's alone with the girl in the room, but he's locating her. Where I assume there were other people in the room, but like he located her bed near his feet. That's the only thing I could think of. He says, now Tan Rabbanan. That once there was like an important communal matter that the Talmid Chacham had to, you know, engage with this matronita, this Roman noblewoman. Shekul Gedoli Romi Mitzuyin Etzla. All Gedoli Romi were found by her. It means like for Zenos, like in other words, very loose woman. So Amru Mielech. So who, they said, who's going to go and intercede with this matronita on behalf of the Jewish community? So Marlon Rabbi Yeshua Nielech, Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll take care of it. Halach Rabbi Yeshua B'Talmidav, Kivan Shigil L'Petach Beita, when he got near the entranceway to her house, Chalatz Tfilah B'Richuk Arba Amot V'Nichnas, he took over his tefillin at a distance of 4 Amot. In other words, apparently he wore his tefillin all the time. When he got in Dalat Amot of the house, he took off the tefillin. Then he entered V'Na'al HaDelet B'Fnehen, and he closed the door. So Achar Shiatzah, and then after he left the house, Yerad v'Tavol v'Shamal and Talmidav. He went and he was Tovel and he gave Shir to his Talmidim. But Amar Lahem, B'Shash Klas Tefillin B'Mechash Tzuni. When I took off my tefillin, you know, what were you thinking? What were you suspecting me of? So the worst case scenario, Chas Shalom, I assume, would be like if he's going to do a Masi Zanus, he wouldn't want to have his tefillin on. But he says, Amarnu, Sabur Rebbe, Lo Yikansu Devrei Kedusha B'Kom Tumah. We said Mustama Rebbe doesn't want to walk in with a Davar Kaddish like tefillin into this place where all this tumah takes place there. So he takes the tefillin off. It's interesting. B'makom tuma. You see, like, even if, not necessarily different ways of touching it up. Not necessarily think anything's going on right now, because I can't imagine. But the fact that so much had taken place there, it's like not more appropriate to wear the tefillin. B'shushna alti b'mechashturi. When I closed the door, what did you think? He says, Amarnu shema devar malchut yish beino lebeino. We thought that maybe there's a confidential matter between, you know, governmental matter that you had to discuss with her. B'shashi eradati b'tefalti. Now, it's still difficult because, you know, one of the gzeirot they mention here is that, like, a person shouldn't be alone with a non-Jewish woman. But the only thing that he said, it could be that this was before they had, there was, you remember Yudchet Davar, we studied it in this Masechta. Remember on Daf Yudalad, we had, or Yudchet, Daf Yudalad, I don't have the first volume.
And alone with a woman in the same
room. Okay, please. Okay, wait. Let me just, okay, 1 second. Okay, so the so we said there were 18 enactments. Remember with Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. I think the Gemara discussed it. I thought it begins on Daf Yudalad Amud Beis. Any event, so one of them is that a person should not be alone with a non-Jewish woman. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. So it could be they said here in the Aris Quote, this is before that Gezerah. So he says, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, okay, then he says on the first very word line, Bashashiradati Vitavalti, Bamechashtuni, when I went and was Tovala Mikva, what did you suspect me of? Amarnu Shema Nitsatsinormi Piaj Abagadov Shorebi. Maybe some saliva from her got on Rebbe. In other words, so like the Goyim are treated like Zavim and the Roka Bazav is Mintame, and that's why you went to the Mikvah. Amar lahem habadak kachaya. He says, "Taka, that's exactly the way it was." He says, "Vatem k'shem shesdan tuni zchud, amakom yadina cham zchud." Just like you judge me favorably, Hakadosh Baruch Hu should judge all of you favorably as well. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on any of the stories we did? What do you got for me, Olivia?
Why is it that yichud with a Jewish woman is midoraita and with a gentile midrabanan?
Yeah, it's based on Psukim and Chumash. I don't know what more to say with that. It's based on the Psukim. I don't know why the rationale should be different, but it's based on Psukim. That's all I could say. All right, what do you, Yosef, you have something for me or not?
Yeah, don't we say a person should test himself?
Wait, you're breaking up, Yosef. Repeat again. I can't hear you.
Don't we say a person test himself with this type of stuff?
That a person should comport himself with
saying test himself.
A person shouldn't bring themselves as any Sion. You're right, but here sometimes there's no choice. Here there was something important for the Jewish community. He had to speak to this woman, and so you know the
he could have taken one of
his
students. It could have taken one of his students.
He didn't want the student to hear the conversation. That's what it says, the Bar Malchut.
Why didn't he leave the door partially open?
So again, it sounds like he wanted, this was a very confidential, sensitive matter. He didn't want anybody to hear. That's the way it sounds like. I'm just saying the Gemara the way it makes sense to me. All right, let me see further in the Gemara. All right, now the fourth very wide line, the second very wide line. Now he says, "Mefanim truma tahora v'chule." Now we said, so going back to the Mishnah, we said we're allowed to move things on Shabbos, even though there's a small amount of tircha for a mitzvah, either bitul beit medrash or because of hachnasat orchim or sechnasat orchim or bitul beit medrash. So one of the things that I can move is truma tahora. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously I can move Truma Tahora, that's edible. She says, Lo Tzricha Debancha B'Yad Yisrael. We're talking about Truma that's in the possession of the Jew. In other words, the Jew either had not yet distributed it to a Kohen, or anyway, so that could be the simple way. So Ma'av Detema Kev Lo Chazi Le'asur. So Kamash Malan, so I might have thought, since it's not really for him to eat, so it's Muksa. In other words, I have all this Truma, I can't eat the truma. I'm not thinking I'm going to eat the truma on Shabbos or Yontiv. So the truma is muksa for me. So he says, Kamashwalan came in the Chazi Kohen, Shapir Dami. So Tana Mishnah teaches me, since the truma could be eaten by a Kohen, so it's not muksa for me. And in Echanami, I can move it. Then we say udmai bechule. We said demai again. Demai is tefua that I purchased from the yama haaretz, and I'm just repeating myself. So all the yama haaretz would take truma, and most of the yama haaretz would take maasrot, but some yama haaretz didn't take maasrot. So the Chazal said I'm not allowed to eat demai unless I take maasrot from it. So in the Mishnah it says I can move demai even though I didn't take the maasrot from it. Udmai bechule. So demai halochazile, but isn't demai muksa? You didn't take the maasrot from it. You can't eat it. So the Gemara says, "Came into by mafkele the nesei v'haba ani v'chazile hashanam y'chazile." Since lu yatzur, if the person would choose to be mafkir all of his property, and then he would be considered an ani because he wouldn't have any property, then he would alpi halacha be permitted to eat the demai. So since there is a route under which he can make the food edible for himself, so it's not muksa. He says, "Ditnan," because we learn in the Mishnah, Masechet Demai, "Makilin aniyim demai berachsani demai," that we have a green light to give aniyim, poor people, demai, and achsani, the soldiers, demai. But Amar Rav Huna, Tana Beit Shammai Rimei, "Makilin aniyim demai berachsani demai," that Beit Shammai says we can't. Beit Hillel Rimei, "Makilin aniyim demai berachsani demai." But we hope Beit Hillel holds you could. Now, let's just look at a little bit of a second in Rashi for a minute. Where is Rashi? Yeah, so if you look at Rashi, it's around the 20th narrow line from the top. It's near the Hagosabach Oak Beit. Machilonim Demai, lo asru alehem, that the Chamin didn't asr Demai on the Aniyim, and they should shrichim lechazero petach ama haaretz. The Aniyim, like, they're looking for food wherever they can get food. And sometimes they go to, you know, Ame Haaretz for food. He says, Vesamchu al sharov Ame Haaretz ma'asrin. So they relied on Tin Torah that most Ame Haaretz do take ma'asir. So the Aniyim are allowed to do it. Now, Tosus asks, why do we need this reason about the Aniyim? Why can't I just say the same thing? I could say that I could be mafkir all my property, then I'll become an Ani. So Tosos says, I could say that. But the Gemara says that, he says, look at Tosos, the second Tosos. Dibai mafkir lenach nechsei. Have matzah lemei mor kidleo. Kevin dechazi. I could say just the same thing as before. Two lines ago, I said a person could give up all his property, be an ani. So he'd be, and we said, he'd be able to eat the demai. Not the demai. I'm saying that it was, yeah, with the demai. 177. Right. Wait. I'm sorry, did I jump the gun with this? Hold on a second.
I think you went ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. All right. Let me put, so I went too far. Okay. So again, so the idea is that he, that it's not muksa because if he would want to, he could be mafkir all of his property and then he'd be an ani, he'd be allowed to eat it. Okay. Any questions on anything we did? All right. Let me go further. Now, umaser rishon shenitla trumato v'chulei. Now, maser rishon shenitla trumato, we think it means, again, so in the order, the farmer has tevua. Olivia, you got to mute yourself, Olivia. I hear the noise there. Let me help you out. Okay. So the farmer has tevua, so he takes truma from it, and then he takes maser rishon. Then from the Maser Rishon, 10% has to be taken by Levi and given to the Kohen. So I have the first is Truma Gedola, and then Truma Maser. So to double taxation. Okay, so double taxation. So we think the Pshat in the Gemara is Maser Rishon Shla Truma Tovachulei. We think that all the Trumas have been taken, Truma Gedola, and Truma Maser has been taken away, and it's not Muksa. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. If I have Maser Rishon and everything's been taken, so it's obviously not Muksa. And again, Maser Rishon is different than Truma. Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim. Maser Rishon, at least according to Moshito, can be eaten by anybody. So he says here, Lo Tzricha Shekdimu B'Shibolim. No, the case that the Mishnah is alluding to is where you had sort of an energetic Levi that doesn't want to wait till the tefu is brought down to the threshing floor and then everything is taken out. He runs to the farmer in the field, Shekhtimu Shibalim, and he greets the farmer before Truma Gedola has even been taken from it. Vinitlami menu Truma Maiser, Vinitlami menu Truma Gedola. And so, in other words, it's only Chayev in Truma Gedola once it's Miruach. I have the smoothing of the piles. Then it'll be Chayev's in Truma Gedola. So Levi gets in before that process, and he goes out to the Shibalim, And he says, do me a favor, I want my Maaser Rishon now. So the farmer gives him the Maaser Rishon. And then the Levi takes, you know, Trumas Maaser from it. But Truma Gedola was never taken from it. Truma Gedola was never taken from this produce. So he says, so is that Muksa now? Because Truma Gedola wasn't taken, so maybe I can't eat it. So no, it's not. If the Levi jumped the gun and got b'shibolim when it's still like in the field with the ears, he says, patur mi Truma Gedola. It's exempted from Truma Gedola. So this pasuk is, I think it's in Parshas Korach, right? It says that that you'll take. He's talking to Levim. I'm giving you a maaser, and from that maaser, you have to take 10% and give to the Kohen. So the only obligation you have to do, you get your maaser rishon, you pay your taxes on it, which is the trumas maaser, and then, you know, gemarnu, then you're finished. So the Mishnah is teaching me under those circumstances, so when it says in the Mishnah, maaser rishon shlat trumato, it means that the trumas maaser was taken from it, but the truma gedola was never taken from it. But it has the chiddush that even though Truma Gedola was never taken from it, it's not muksa, and it's edible. So Amalei Rapapa, and we have the same sugya. The same sugya shows up a couple of times in Shas. Who remembers who else where we had the same sugya? Anybody else remember? Where do you remember? Anybody remember? In Brachot, in Shlosha Sha'achlu, we had the Mishnah there, you know, like if you know, people eat food together, you know, you can only, you know, be mezamein if the food was heter. So it goes through all these items. And anyway, so the Gemara says, Amali Rapapa la Baye. So Rapapa says to Baye, I hachi, afilu hikdimo b'kri nami liftor. So if that's the case, even the Levi preceded the Kohen in the Kri is the pile. So the Tefuah was piled up, and a Levi shows up early, and he says, give me my Maaser Rishon. So in those circumstances, also he should be exempted from truma. So Amarle, so Rabbi said to him, Alecha Mar Kro Mikumano Techem to remove a gomer. He says, from all your matanos, you should take truma. In other words, there's a ribui to say that in this case he does have to take the truma gedola. Umara ita. So I have one pasuk a miut and one pasuk a ribui. One pasuk says he's exempt once he takes the truma's maaser. The other pasuk says no, he's even chayav on truma gedola. Umaraita, how did you figure out which case is which? So the Gemara says, Hai idgan v'hailo idgan. One has already been turned into grain. In other words, when it's piled up, then I already call it dagan. And that's like, you know, reshit dagancha, like, you know, like the first of your dagan. The other is not dagan yet. It's still on the ears and things like that. It's not that way. All right. Just a few more lines, that'll be it. Umaser sheni v'chule. We said, Maaser sheni, I'm a farmer, so I take my Maaser sheni. I'm supposed to bring it up to Yerushalayim, eat it in Yerushalayim. But if it's too difficult for me, I could be poda it. So the Mishnah says, if I have Maaser Sheni that I was poda, so I take the money and then I'm poda the Maaser Sheni. So now I have now the kedusha is chal on the money, and now I have this Maaser Sheni, so I can move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Maaser Sheni b'chulif sheet. That's obvious. Lo tzrich hashdan akerim lo natan chomesh. So no, the case is, if I'm redeeming my own stuff, I have to pay the Karen and a Chomesh. Remember, the Chomesh, remember, was the bar, so it's really a quarter. So it's really, I'm paying an extra quarter of the Tefuah. So I only pay the quarter, I didn't pay the Karen. HaKamash Malan Din Chomesh Ma'akev. I didn't say right. Shnatana Karen Malan Chomesh. He paid the Karen, he paid the principal, he didn't pay the Chomesh. In other words, he redeemed it with the Karen, he didn't pay the Chomesh, but the Chomesh is not Ma'akev the Pidyon. So I, in other words, let's say the tefuah is worth $100. So I have to pay $125 to bring to Yerushalayim. So I segregated $100, you know, for the Maaser Sheni. I didn't segregate the other $25. So notwithstanding that, the Maaser Sheni is not Maaser Sheni anymore, and I can, it's not muksa. Okay? So in other words, I'm free to eat it here. Now he says here, we said the dry lupine bean, because I can give it to my goat. So dafki yavesh, well, lachlo, if it's moist, not my taima kim demari lo achla. It's when it's moist, it becomes bitter, and so the goat's not going to eat it. Okay, now the next daf, just two lines, and we'll call it a day. Kufchav chedam and aleph, abal lo da tevel v'chule. We said tevel, I'm not allowed to move on Shabbos because it's muksa pshita. lo tzricha b'tevel tavel min rabbanan. No, it's not so pashut. We're talking about tevel on a rabbanan level. He says shizra obat sishen onakuv. If I planted, let's say, tavuam in a pot that's not perforated, so on a deraisa level, it's not chayiv in trumas and masrot, but on a drabanan level, it is. So that's what it's talking about. I grew things, let's say, in pots or whatever, in containers. So it's really not on a deraisa level chayiv in trumas maaser, but on a drabanan level, it is. So if it's tevel, even though it's on a drabanan level, it's still muksa and I can't eat it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? What do you got for me, Yosef? Anything? Everybody good? Okay, now, let me just end the recording. Don't go anywhere.